This Wednesday, November 1st, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. It just gets wilder. As we know, wilder and stranger. We have ended our month of October surprises, but obviously it moves right into November. We have the nonsense that we can be expecting just coming up here in a few days, starting this weekend. The War of the Worlds scenario. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. Some folks are talking about that. But first, just crazy stuff. The incident, I'm just calling them incidents. All of them are incidents. The latest, the Halloween incident in Manhattan, you know, it's textbook false flag. The alleged suspect in custody, leaving a note. I think it's interesting, you know, terror suspect in New York City truck attack pledged allegiance to ISIS. Saifulo Saipov, Uzbeki gentleman making his residence in Tampa, Florida, pledges allegiance to ISIS, leaves a note to make sure, you know. Had the notes written in Arabic inside his Home Depot rental truck. Always the rental truck. Why is he's an Uber driver? Why does he need to rent a Home Depot truck? With a picture of the ISIS flag, of course. So we'll just go through this quickly. I don't even want to waste a lot of time on this. It's just textbook false flag. Leaves a note at the scene along with depiction of ISIS flag. Right. Like passports falling out of the sky. Incidentally, you do recall, of course, the so-called ISIS flag, the black flag of jihad, is essentially the Saudi flag. You know that, right? We've talked about that on this broadcast, as well as representing the Saudi ideology, not religion, ideology of Wahhabism and Salafism. This is the country, so-called, that's going to lead the world in the fight against extremism. Yeah. Once again, the fox guarding the hen house. Nothing like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. The very same people who have been responsible for this kind of problem, very effective proxy warriors for hundreds of years now. The British leveraged this ideology to balkanize and fracture the Ottoman Empire. And that's pretty much ancient history at this point. But now, Salafism, which is Wahhabism on tour, as some have astutely observed, is infecting the Western world. And I've mentioned the fact that you have Saudi billionaires, one degree separated from Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, making grants to universities like Yale University. You have Yale, Harvard, Stanford, and other Ivy League institutions creating Islamic studies, so-called. So the $10 million Saudi grant to Yale University to create a program for Islamic studies is essentially legitimizing Ivy League Wahhabism. And as I have said before, just go read anything those kids that come out of that program write, and you will see what I mean. They are, you want to talk about copycatters, these kids are Ivy League jihadist copycatters. This is the kind of ideological nonsense that I think of when I think of that Huckabee quote from 10 years ago. To create havoc in the world, you need intellectuals like that. But I digress. So there's that aspect of the story, which is odd. He was an Uber driver, or is an Uber driver, Saifullo Saipov. And speaking of Uber drivers, I thought that was curious. Remember the story? Driver says Uber app told me to kill people. The CBS version of that story, because we always see BS. Title: Man charged in Kalamazoo shootings says Uber app made him do it. Go ahead if you're ready with that, please.
There's been a strange development in last month's deadly shooting in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Police say the man charged in the rampage told investigators he was being controlled by his Uber app. According to investigators, Jason Dalton told them, quote, "It feels like it is coming from the phone itself." Dalton was driving for Uber at the time of the shooting spree. He is charged with murdering 6 people and wounding 8 others. Even before this latest development surfaced, Dalton had been ordered to undergo a mental competency exam ahead of his trial.
Yeah. He's incompetent, even though we know TruthStream Media has done some great stuff lately on the electronic psychotronic, as old school bad guys like Zbigniew Brzezinski would have said. But those types of methods of mind control and messing with people's heads. Are we surprised? I think weak-minded people, and who are those people? It's a good question. I remember a CIA memo from a million years ago, mind control in the 50s, that at the end of the memo talked about the resistance to mind control being the first step in resistance, being understanding that someone's trying to mess with your head. And so because obviously you're more susceptible, if you have no defense, you expect nothing. To know maybe someone's trying to mess with your head obviously is helpful. So I don't know if it's so much weak-minded people as those who are susceptible and vulnerable because they are unwitting. Whatever the case, it's just another curious coincidence. He's an Uber driver. This scenario makes absolutely no sense. It's clearly being overblown. The whole world is freaking out in a panic, and the strategy of tension is always in full effect. Opportunities of crisis, Emmanuel strategy in full effect. So the Uber driver aspect, like I said, is curious. He hops out of a rental truck, a rented Home Depot pickup with, what was it, a paintball and a pellet gun. And he was shot almost immediately by NYPD because, you know, NYPD officers just happened to be in proximity. Was there a drill? I'm not sure about that yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would be more surprised if there wasn't. And that, again, is textbook false flag, because you go back to the textbook, one of the emblematic example being Operation Northwoods, talks about staging drills for that purpose so that, you know, the drill can go live. And speaking of that, the best example I recall is Patrick Pelu. You remember Patrick Pelu, the gentleman who, if I could call him that, just happened to be there at the Charlie Hebdo attacks, and then just happened to be there later that year at the November 2015 Paris attacks. Gosh, you know, and he even said he'd already been, you know, what are the odds of lightning striking the same place twice, or the same guy in the same place twice, rhetorically. And so he was there at Charlie Hebdo at the actually, he wasn't at the offices. He was called back, ended up there somehow, magically, still sort of inexplicably. But then later in November of 2015, Patrick Pelu said he was part of the EMT team. So he's not just a some kind of a functionary of Charlie Hebdo, not a staffer from what I understood, or that changed or something. The story was very sort of convoluted as far as that was concerned, or at least it became convoluted over the period of the course of the year before November or up to November. But he's not just a writer, he's an EMT. I remember we've played that clip. It doesn't do a whole lot of good because it's in French, but at least not for Americans like me who are not literate in French, which is horrible. That there's that old joke, you know, what do you call a person who knows several languages, multilingual? What do you call a person who knows two languages, bilingual? What do you call a person who knows one language, American? That's what we hear the Japanese and certain other folks say, but I digress. I'm hackish at Spanish and some other things. French, definitely not. But again, I digress. So Patrick Pelu, November 2015, Paris attacks, just happens to be on the radio saying, you know, as fate would have it, as luck would have it, we were conducting a drill this morning that went live. Well, that's textbook. Read Operation Northwoods. That's always a harbinger of, you know, whenever there's a drill, some folks are coming to realize, beware, because the drill might go live. Some guy just might happen to show up and, hey, it's a drill. You know what? I got a paintball and a pellet gun in the truck that I just rented. Maybe I should jump out and pretend like I'm going to do something. And if you've seen the footage, it's pretty clear that this gentleman, Saifulo Saipov, was not intending to do anything but play a good actor. So, again, I digress. Was there a drill? And then, of course, we have to have the gratuitous Allahu Akbar. He jumps out and witnesses say, I heard him shout Allahu Akbar, right? Because, you know, and there was one girl, I forget who it was, maybe we'll play that clip, but the high school girl, everything she says sounds scripted and coached. She is suddenly she's an expert witness. Unbelievable. She's explaining things. We're going to have to play that clip. High school kid. She's there. She has the presence of mind to say, you know, he was doing this and that means this. And, you know, I was doing, no, this. And she's very specific, very descriptive, which is not to say that's not possible. But when you are a high school kid and you've been through a traumatic event, to imagine that you would be pontificating, you know, in a very relaxed sort of fashion is odd. That's unnatural. So, folks, witnesses say he shouted Allahu Akbar, which, you know, does anybody really recognize that phrase? I don't think so. If it's said in Arabic, I think most people will go, I don't know, he was shouting something. But of course, everyone's an expert. They heard him shouting Allahu Akbar, and of course he did. And so it's textbook. You know, he might as well have shouted Durka Durka. Durka Durka, Muhammad Jihad. It's that absurd. I keep saying this is a comic book reality we're being plunged into, which is an oxymoron, obviously, but that's what's happening. It's ridiculous. It's being this incident in Manhattan yesterday is being discussed in the headlines and the mainstream media today as if it were as bad as it's the worst attack since September 11, 2001, is what the media is saying. Meanwhile, the city of New York and Manhattan specifically have other problems, to be sure. But I digress. I want to move on. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this. So next up, in terms of clips, I want to play this. This, speaking of CBS and seeing BS, this from CBS titled "Former Acting CIA Director, No Doubt, New York Terror Attack Inspired by ISIS." This is former acting and deputy CIA director Michael Morell. Remember Michael Morell on Talking with Charlie Rose and all the awful things that he wants to do that he admits, and not assassinating certain leaders, but, you know, assassinating folks around them and letting them know that we want to get them. This is Michael Morell. Go ahead, please.
Trump tweeted, quote, "I have just ordered Homeland Security to step up our already extreme vetting program. Being politically correct is fine, but not for this." CBS News senior national security contributor Michael Morell was acting and deputy director of the CIA. He's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
From what we know this morning, what stands out for you?
Charlie, what stands out for me is that there is no doubt in my mind that this was ISIS-inspired. And the reason is it follows the ISIS playbook perfectly. Several months ago, ISIS published in an extremist magazine the following: get a truck, kill as many pedestrians as you possibly can. When you can't kill any more pedestrians, get out and either with a knife or gun, kill more, and then let people know either through a note or through the words you say that you're doing this on behalf of ISIS. So he did all of those things. He didn't have a real gun. He had a fake gun. But boy, did he follow that playbook.
Yeah, it sounds very textbook. But I thought we were gaining ground with ISIS. We just did a story recently celebrating the takeover, the downfall of ISIS in Raqqa. Does that mean that it really isn't over for them? Are they growing stronger?
So they're not growing stronger.
Not.
But
right.
Nobody should think that just because we're taking away their territory in Iraq and Syria, that they're going away, right? They are now becoming a normal terrorist organization. They are going underground. They are going into the shadows. They will still have influence. They'll still be able to get their message out.
Should we expect more people to try to copycat what happened here in New York as they have done in Europe?
So, Charlie, I think that's a really important point. The pattern we're seeing in Europe now is an attack followed by copycat attacks. So we had the Westminster attack in March, followed by three attacks over the next 4 weeks. We had the Manchester attack in May, followed by three attacks over the next 4 weeks. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but we need to be vigilant about that.
And we know the suspect is from Uzbekistan, a former Soviet republic. The Caucasus in general, like Dagestan, where the Tsarnaev brothers were from, is a hotbed for terror recruitment. Russia.
Oh, you mean the Tsarnaev brothers who were CIA assets? The known connection? We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Mm-hmm. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. This is right. This is right. This is right.
Welcome back. So you heard Michael Morrell pontificating in that last segment there. This is the same guy, of course, who has been very outspoken, shall we say, in his desire to do bad things, you know, really evil, despicable things that are, I mean, it is tantamount to terrorism, quite frankly. But this is the way that this thing works. You know, I've mentioned this before. You go to the RAND Corporation, the Army's preeminent and premier military industrial think tank, now run it out to the entire world, you know, highest bidder gets the benefit of RAND Corporation's game theory nonsense, basically how to destroy you militarily and have you think it's your idea all along. That's really what game theory amounts to. But the Beginner's Guide to Nation Building says it all. The summary of it, you know, defining terrorism, define terrorism. Google says, because it uses, I forget which dictionary now, the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. We've added unlawful. Is there a lawful use? Doesn't it seem redundant? The unlawful use of violence and intimidation. So when is violence and intimidation lawful? That's odd, isn't it? But again, I digress. The unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. Hillary Clinton would call that hard power. She likes hard power, soft power. She really likes soft or smart power, the combination of the two, so that you can beguile those that you would seek to manipulate, or, you know, force them if they won't be beguiled. If the Jedi mind trick isn't working, sometimes you just got to beat them over the head with that old club none of us are part of. But again, I digress. So terrorism, the use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians in the pursuit of political aims. The Beginner's Guide to Nation Building over at Rand Corporation. The summary of this Rand monograph, this piece of awfulness, states, nation building involves the use of armed force as part of a broader effort to promote political and economic reforms with the objective of transforming a society emerging from conflict. Who started the conflict, by the way? Was it a proxy war that was created by the same folks that are trying to promote political and economic reforms? But I digress. With the objective of transforming a society emerging from conflict into one at peace with itself and its neighbors. So nation building involves the use of armed force to promote political and economic reforms. Doesn't that sound a lot like the definition of terrorism? The use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. That's what Michael Morell is advocating. Anyway, a CIA old school bad guy saying that this plot, what did he say? This is textbook ISIS. You know, if anybody would know, a CIA guy would know. And where did ISIS come from? ISIS is the grandchild of the CIA. Operation Cyclone gave us the Afghan Mujahideen, and Osama bin Laden just happened to leave the King Abdulaziz School for Economics and Management. He dropped out. Why? Because the CIA gave him a few hundred million bucks and said, you know, go find some friends, and we want to create a network of folks to resist the Soviet invasion in Afghanistan. Oh, but wait, we created that side of the conflict too, as folks later learned. Zbigniew Brzezinski bragged about that. We created a situation that we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. So the CIA created both sides of that conflict in Afghanistan, which gave rise to the Mujahideen, which gave birth to Al-Qaeda, Al-Siyada, the Taliban, ISIS, Boko Haram, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Al-Nusra Front, the Khorasan Group, etc., etc., Al-Shabaab. All of these groups we hear about, the latest mispronounced Al-Siyada offshoot, they all come from the Mujahideen. And you can see, even on the Wikipedia entry for Operation Cyclone, that the CIA, it says Operation Cyclone was the code name for the United States CIA program to arm and finance the Mujahideen. Ah, the gift that keeps on giving, eh? The Cold War was winding down and came to an end in 1991 with the collapse of the Soviet Union. We had to find a new boogeyman, didn't we? Operation Cyclone was the code name of the United States Central Intelligence Agency, CIA program to arm and finance the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And skipping ahead, the program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups rather than other less ideological Afghan resistance groups. What does that mean? Well, in more clear and plain language, it means that they recruited the Salafists, the Wahhabism on tour folks. And what is that? Look up Salafi movement on Wikipedia. Go skip ahead to the section titled Views on Extremism, at least while it's still up, because who knows how long until this gets revised and sanitized. But click on Views on Extremism. Scroll down and just read this. In recent years, the Salafi methodology, now it's a methodology, not just an ideology. It's been called ideology. That's been revised. In recent years, the Salafi methodology now has come to be associated with the jihad of extremist groups that advocate the killing of innocent civilians. See, this is all, wow, it's getting revised as I look at it. It's getting revised. Anyway, skipping ahead, Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, okay? And this ideology, here we're back to ideology, is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab. There you go. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, the country so-called, that's going to lead the fight in combating extremism. Do you see a problem here? You know, it kind of reminds me of the defendant, MGM, guarding the star witness or the key witness in the case against itself in Las Vegas. You know, there's nothing weird about that, right? If someone said, you know, the mob just fears for the safety of the star witness, so they're going to keep that witness under in protective custody. They're going to sequester the witness to make sure nothing bad happens. Wouldn't you be concerned? Yeah, that's exactly what's happening in Las Vegas, allegedly, with the Jesus Campos character. What in the world is going on in this bizarre upside-down world we live in? So it's normal for the defendant to sequester the key witness. That's no big deal. So Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia. Again, the fox that's leading the charge to combat threats against hens and the hen house. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia. That cannot be overstated. And this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that including but not limited to, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab. Speaking of Al-Qaeda, remember Robin Cook's 2005 article, July 8, 2005, the day after the London 7/7 bombing, speaking of false flag nonsense? I think that was the article that got him killed, since he was dead less than a month later. Healthy, young 50-something guy. I think he was 53 at the time. But Robin Cook was kind of a James Bond type guy, I always say. You look into his background that is getting sanitized as well, and you'll kind of see what I mean, if you can still find that. But his article titled, "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means," in The Guardian back on July 8, 2005, he said it all. He, reading from that excerpt, he wrote, "Osama bin Laden is no more a true." And so basically what he was saying was violence is not the answer. The war on terror will only create more terror, is essentially what he was saying. And guess what? More than a decade later, Robin Cook was right, which was why he had to take a dirt nap, obviously. Just fell over of a massive heart attack one day, I think out for a jog or something like that. So he wrote, "Osama bin Laden is no more a true representative of Islam than General Mladic, who commanded the Serbian forces, could be held up as an example of Christianity." After all, and so this all reminds one of Donald Rumsfeld, Rummy, saying, you know, sometimes we work with people that you wouldn't want as your neighbor. Sometimes we work with bad people. Yeah, we have to do that. You know, it's Nicholson's performance in A Few Good Men, essentially. So Robin Cook wrote, continuing, "After all, it is written in the Quran that," and this is something that you won't hear in the mainstream press. You know, we have to vilify those people and these people through the process of otherizing one another. We end up at each other's throats for no logical, legitimate reason. You and I don't know each other, and suddenly we're at each other's throats. Why? Because the Pied Pipers of propaganda have told us that we are each other's enemy. Even though if we actually sat down and started talking for 5 minutes, we'd probably find out we have a lot in common, including a common enemy. But again, I digress. Continuing, after all, it is written in the Quran that we are all made into different peoples, not that we might despise each other, but that we might understand each other. Bin Laden was, Robin Cook wrote, though a product of a monumental miscalculation. Indeed. By Western security agencies. Not so much. It was intentional. But, you know, he's kind of toeing the party line with that. But listen to this. He wrote, throughout the 80s, Bin Laden, was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis. By the way, those 17 of 19 alleged hijackers, 9/11 hijackers, they were Iraqi. No, they were Afghani. No, they were Saudi. That's right. Bin Laden, Saudi. So we bombed Saudi Arabia and turned it into a glass parking lot. No, we didn't. That's right. Interesting. But again, I digress. I mean, you heard Wikipedia, of all places, the sanitized, whitewashed, watered-down account of everything, even says Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Shabaab. Why are we pals with Saudi Arabia? If people are concerned about what happened in New York yesterday and we consider it legitimate at all, couldn't we say that Saudi Arabia is indirectly responsible? Would we be concerned? Are folks concerned that Yale University took $10 million from a Saudi billionaire 1 degree separated from Al-Qaeda to create a program of Islamic studies that are essentially Wahhabi studies? Read what these kids are writing. Are we concerned? But, you know, you start to connect the dots like that, and we're so dumbed down and so stupefied in this society these days, it's Clark's third law. Any sufficiently advanced technology or theory in this case is indistinguishable from magic. Chris, you're talking like 3 points of connection there, and that's just magic. That's just magic talk. Again, I digress. So back to Robin Cook's article, Bin Laden was, though, a product of a monumental miscalculation, so-called, by Western security agencies. Throughout the 80s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan, ostensibly, I would add. Al-Qaeda, here's the key, though. Listen to this. Al-Qaeda, literally the database. I mean, you go to the CIA and FBI right now and they say base. Still, we've heard base, and we've even gotten away from that now. We don't hear base anymore because that would perhaps lead you to this information. What Robin Cook wrote. Who's talking about this? Al-Qaeda, literally the database, quote unquote, was originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Inexplicably and with disastrous consequences, it never appears to have occurred to Washington that once Russia was out of the way, Bin Laden's organization would turn its attention to the West. The way I put it, I think, which is more fitting, is imagine if you were these guys, these radicals anyway, the Mujahideen, who were Salafi adherents, fundamentalists. And again, go back into the historical record and see what has happened to the Ottoman Empire as a result of this social virus of Salafism and Wahhabism. It's an infection, and that's why it's used so effectively. Listen to what Gerda Coleman has said about this. He's very articulate on the subject, and I always appreciate what he has to say on this, really, and about just about anything. But coming forward, you know, from the era of the founding of the American Constitutional Republic, from that time forward, look at what this ideology has been doing around the world. It's a social virus used very effectively to create proxy warriors that just go into a society and overrun it. The Salafi and Wahhabi folks are the convert or die folks. Those are the convert or die folks. It's an ideology. And again, even Wikipedia says It's not Islam, just so we're clear. You know, I mentioned last Friday, we were talking about books and authors specifically, and I definitely want to get back to that. Maybe this Friday we'll do a whole show on just a list, like a reading list type show. But when this subject comes up, one of the best books that you can read on this subject is a book called The Two Faces of Islam by Stephen Schwartz. And I've mentioned this before, The Two Faces of Islam, Saudi Fundamentalism and Its Role in Terrorism. From the book description, since its formation in 1932, Saudi Arabia, and how did that happen? Speaking of Wahhabism, go read the real story of Lawrence of Arabia. Since its formation in 1932, Saudi Arabia has been ruled by two interdependent families. The Al-Sauds control politics, and the descendants of Ibn al-Wahhab impose Wahhabism. And this was the deal from the start. Go look that up. The House of Saud alliance with Ibn al-Wahhab. Since its formation in 1932, and so that's why it's misleading. You go back to the era of the founding of the American Constitutional Republic, and you have the same unholy alliance. But again, I digress. So since its formation in 1932, Saudi Arabia has been ruled by two interdependent families. The Al-Sauds control politics, and the descendants of Ibn Abd al-Wahhab, impose Wahhabism. And again, this is something that you don't hear about. So the descendants of Ibn Abd al-Wahhab impose Wahhabism, a violent fanatical perversion of the pluralistic Islam practiced by most Muslims. Exactly. And these folks are always responsible for, they radicalize any Sunni contingent. And then, of course, they really, it's like an incendiary. It's like a social IED between Sunni and Shia Islam. That's what happens. And these are the folks that you hear. Any persecution, any crazy infiltration, any of the convert or die nonsense, the, you know, suicide, whatever, any of it that's ever legitimate, which is about maybe a tenth of 1%, if that, any of it genuine, authentic, is always, almost always this. I would say upwards of 95%. There are some other ideological organizations that are responsible, but it's almost always Wahhabism and Salafism, which is Wahhabism on tour. So continuing, Stephen Schwartz, this is the Amazon book description for The Two Faces of Islam, Saudi Fundamentalism and Its Role in Terrorism. Stephen Schwartz argues that Wahhabism, vigorously exported with the help of Saudi oil money, exactly, is what incites Palestinian suicide bombers, Osama bin Laden, and other Islamic terrorists throughout the world. Schwartz reveals the hypocrisy of the Saudi regime, whose moderate facade conceals state-sponsored repression and terrorism. He also raises troubling questions about Wahhabi infiltration of America's Islamic community and about U.S. oil companies sanitizing Saudi Arabia's image for the West, do you think? This sharp analysis and eye-opening expose illuminates the background to the September 11th terrorist attacks and offers new approaches for U.S. policy toward its closest ally in the Middle East. Imagine that. Do you see a problem, Virginia, when Saudi Arabia, even Wikipedia says, sponsors Salafism, the ideology? Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Shabaab. Yet somehow we're led to believe, even though this same alliance that Stephen Schwartz talks about in his book, The Two Faces of Islam, that no one in America knows about, again, Clark's Third Law, not knowing this information is tantamount to magic. We're just talking about magic because, you know, sufficiently sophisticated information or whatever however you want to say that. It's unbelievable. We need to get knowledged up quick, fast, in a hurry, you know, because this cannot continue. We are so far past the brink of destruction. It's so Clark's third law, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and there are corollaries, variants of the third law. You know, some of the corollaries that might apply. Any sufficiently advanced act of benevolence is indistinguishable from malevolence. Any sufficiently advanced cluelessness is indistinguishable from malice, and so on and so on. But it's unbelievable. It's simple. It's so simple. Saudi Arabia sponsors this ideology. These adherents are recruited around the world. The CIA knows where to find these people and goes there. It's not that Uzbekistan has an ISIS problem. It's that this ideology has infected certain hamlets of the globe and is allowed to proliferate in those places for a variety of reasons. One, it's a social virus that's used to create proxy warrior groups that envelop the globe with this, infect the globe with this radical mindset. It's a social virus, and it's sweeping the globe. But this is exactly in accordance with Pike's allegedly apocryphal letter to Mazzini, isn't it? That Third World War. Isn't that exactly what's happening? I mean, this is just another example of how those words apply. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and political Islam. The war must be conducted in such a way. And political Islam is this. Wahhabism and Salafism is political Islam. What do you mean? Well, again, Stephen Schwartz, I mean, go back and understand the unholy alliance between the House of Saud and Ibn Abd al-Wahhab. That was the deal. The House of Saud says, hey, Ibn al-Wahhab, you're really good at controlling people with this religion thing. So I want you to be my religious guy. And Wahhab says, that's cool, but you know, I just want to make sure that I'm your only religious guy. So as long as we can have that alliance, then everything's cool. And so they make that deal. Fast forward to today, 250 years later or so, here we are. The Al-Sauds control politics, and the descendants of Ibn Abd al-Wahhab impose Wahhabism, a violent, fanatical perversion of the pluralistic Islam practiced by most Muslims. Do we really want a group of people who treat certain of their own people so poorly? I'm not going to get off on the controversies. You know what I'm talking about. Women specifically are a group that is singled out in poor Saudi treatment, unfavorable, unjust, etc. Do we really want that society dictating to America and the rest of the world what constitutes extremism and how we're going to combat it? Are you kidding me? I certainly do not. I do not. So as Richie from Boston would say, I do not consent. We do not consent. I definitely do not. That's not okay with me. Not in the least. So you start to understand what's happening. All of this facade that we hear in incidents like yesterday, I'm calling them all incidents. It's all a facade. This is a manufactured enemy. It's a social virus. It's if there was really any intent on anyone's part in any position of authority that could really do something personally to counter these kinds of attacks, we wouldn't be, Saudi Arabia would certainly not be our greatest ally in the Middle East, period, end of story. We wouldn't be allowing, I mean, so we're worried about one guy that shows up in America 7 years ago, compliments of Barack Obama. Sure, there are problems with that. But then he knocks around for 7 years. Who's to say? Who's to say? Especially with what's going on with technology. Like I said, the Uber app, you know, is it possible? Is the technology available to mind control someone electronically? Well, yeah, there's, I mean, look at all the study on ELF weapons, for example. People hearing voices, you know, and every time we hear a story of the Odom, Kyle Odom, remember him up in Coeur d'Alene? Kyle Odom says, I was hearing voices in my head. Sort of like directed energy weapons for mind control is really what ELF amounts to. Is that possible? Well, there are numerous examples that seem to indicate yes. Jason Dalton seems to be one of those examples. Man charged in Kalamazoo shooting says Uber app made him do it. And everybody says, oh, that's laughable. Meanwhile, you know, you listen to folks who have been to, I mentioned the conferences. Was that last year or this year? The tech conference, I forget which one it was, that the True News team attended, Rick Wiles and his team. I think that was this year. Maybe it was last year already. But their team attended one of the tech conferences down in California and said, we're frightened because the leaders of these conferences, the speakers and the leaders of these companies, these tech companies, are telling us at this conference, there's no security. They say we're even freaked out, especially with artificial intelligence on the rise. We're freaked out. There's no security. And those people, these leaders of the tech industry, were saying, you know, Kellyanne Conway gets laughed at by CNN again. Clark's third law, magic. Sufficiently advanced technology indistinguishable from magic. CNN's laughing while the experts at the tech conferences are saying, yes, it's true. The devices, the appliances, I should say, that have been created since the late 90s have chips, circuitry in them that can be hacked and can do a variety of things. In other words, we can trace through your electrical grid in your home, find your toaster, find your washing machine, your refrigerator, your microwave, whatever, and through that, hack other devices in your house. That's what the experts say anyway at the tech conferences, and they're even freaked out by it. There's no security in any of it. So, you know, should we be concerned? Perhaps. But again, I digress. So back to that third world war scenario. Political Zionism versus political Islam. And political Islam, we don't even know what the two sides are. How can you fight a battle that's being fomented when it's happening, it's hidden in plain sight? Like this battle is. What is political Zionism? It emerged on the world scene officially back in, what, 1897, the first World Zionist Conference? All of those old school bad guys, Chaim Weizmann and Theodore Herzl and all those bad guys. So you have political Zionism on one side, but that wasn't the beginning of it. Been fomenting for decades before that. And then you have political Islam. When was that created? Well, good question. But this particularly virulent strain that we're talking about, Wahhabism, was created in the unholy alliance between the House of Saud and Ibn Abdal-Wahhab. And, I mean, just go back and look at the history. It's been very effective at destroying societies. It's like a flesh-eating virus on a social level. Really, that's what it is, which is why it's employed, which is why these folks are recruited. Very effective. So if you don't even know the two sides of the battle, how can you be aware and prepare yourself? Unbelievable. Jacob Beach was on yesterday talking about preparation. We should have touched on that as far as war is concerned. Whether you're participating in the war or you're a bystander, it's essential to understand what's happening lest you become a casualty. Like what happened in New York yesterday, if there were any real victims, which is, again, not to marginalize or downplay any tragedy, certainly not. But the fact is, the national military establishment has openly confessed to targeting its own so-called people, targeting American people, in its efforts to justify attacking other people. It will attack its so-called own people to justify garnering widespread support from those same people in an effort to attack others. False flag attacks. You know, the most recent episode of The Brave, Anne Heche, whom I can't stand, who can, I don't know. She mentioned false flag. You know, they had a mole, apparently, in the NSA. They had to find out, so they ran a false flag campaign. Just a little tiny thing in their own organization. It's real. False flag is real. It's very effective. So when we think about it, when we step back and look, we are besieged by, you know, I can't overstate the fact that there was, I forget who it was, the RBN host that said years ago, gosh, was that 10 years ago? Maybe more already? America, your government has been weaponized against you. That is a fact. It's not my government. It's a rogue political regime. In 1946, when Congress passed the Administrative Procedure Act, Senator McCarran said, we've created a fourth branch. He even clarified and reiterated a couple of times by the Constitution, executive, legislative, judicial, and now we've created a fourth dimension, a fourth order. What does fourth dimension, fourth order mean? But that's exactly what they want it to sound like. It's the through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole experience. It's not some tangible thing. It's not some neck you can go grab somewhere. It's off down the rabbit hole. It's off through the looking glass. The quasi extension of the executive branch, the quasi-administrative branch. It's all quasi. What branch does the IRS, Social Security, DEA, ATF, CIA, FBI, what branch do they all fall under? Why don't the kids learn that in school? Stick around. Second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.